You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, and listeners, it is episode 297. And today's show is all about working pupils, because we have mentioned them many times on the show previously. We've spoken to a few as well. And it's been a topic that we have wanted to delve into in a little bit more detail a lot. And we have finally got two excellent guests to give us a real insight behind the scenes. Firstly, I will say a very warm welcome to Leslie Grant Law from Law Eventing. Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you ever so much for having us.
And you are well known at Law Eventing for having one of the best programs in the country, producing not only brilliant young horses, but brilliant young riders as well. So we're looking forward to getting an insight into what it is that you guys look for and what you can offer, and just really find out more about the whole setup. And we have managed to rope in one of your current working pupils as well. So Anna Fitzhugh, you are going to tell us what it is really like as well. We're looking forward to it.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Okay, first of all, Anna, just tell us a bit about yourself, because I think you've been at Law Eventing for just under a year, is that right?
Yes, just under a year.
And what made you want to be a working pupil, and why at Law Eventing?
So I had been a working student, I mean, a bit off and on growing up through elementary school and middle school and high school for my like local trainer Morgan, and I'd always ridden the bus home from school to work for her off my lessons and board. And then I graduated high school a year early to work for Skylar Voss for 6 months, and that was full time, and I loved working for her. And then I was like, okay, I should really go to college. So I went home, and then COVID happened, so I did a bit of college online. And while I was doing college online, I was doing work at a bunch of other barns and realized that I could really do a full-time working student position again. And I really wanted to take the horses seriously in addition to my schoolwork. So I thought, well, I should really try and find someone, like the best people I can find, because this is really my only opportunity to do it now because COVID's happening anyway, so everything's online. So my mom actually sent me an ad in Eventing Nation that the Leslies were both looking for a working student. And I was like, you know, that's a really big trip to go live in Florida year round, because I'm from Maryland. And I thought, you know, I might as well do it. So I asked Skylar what she thought, because she knows the laws, and she said I should go for it. So then I decided to, I texted LG on Facebook, Leslie Grant, and we did a little phone interview. And then I moved here at the beginning of this year and haven't looked back since.
Amazing. So you upped your life and moved down. Did you take a horse with you, or were you, was it literally just you?
I actually was able to bring two horses down. So I had a going intermediate horse at the time, who's actually my boyfriend's horse. So I was lucky enough to bring him down. He stayed at the Laws. And then I had a young thoroughbred who I was struggling with a bit on the flat that I board next door to the Laws, and I get lessons with him sometimes.
Okay, cool. And Leslie, from your side of things, so tell us a bit about your setup, because I know it is something that you are both so, so passionate about. So what is it that you offer, and just a bit about the setup in your team?
Absolutely. Well, for starters, you know, I'm very passionate about the working student thing, because that's how I came along. I didn't come from a family that was willing to put, you know, tremendous amounts of money into my horses and riding, and they were city folk and they didn't get it, nor were they going to invest that much in it. So for me, if I wanted to pursue this path, the only way for me to do it was by a working student position. So I did a lot of that growing up. Every summer, you know, every time I didn't have to go to school, I was a working student basically. And I have so much appreciation for what those people did to me that I think I've always felt that it's important to give back that way if you can, and if it can be a beneficial situation for both parties, then I think it's something very good to offer people if you can. So that's why I'm passionate about it. For us, what we can offer, I mean, I wish we could offer a lot more. We're very blessed. We've had some really good kids. And if I could wiggle my nose, I would give them a lot more than we do. But at the end of the day, it's also a business and everything has to make sense. So what we offer our working students at the beginning, they come in and they work 6 days a week. And in exchange, they get the equivalent of full training board on their horses, which includes all their lessons, the board on their horse. I mean, basically everything except for vet fees and competition fees. We ship their horses when and if we can, free of charge. We do all their coaching at the shows. We do minimum 3 lessons a week for them. And they get really, the important thing is that it's every time individually personalized to them. So they don't get treated the same. They get treated how they need to be treated as far as, you know, if everything's going swimmingly well, they'll be in group jumping lessons. They could be in group jumping lessons with some of, you know, Leslie's developing riders sometimes. If they're having struggles, then they get individual help. And that's basically how it goes. We tailor the program to them. It's not just some cookie cutter program that they get involved in. And then after they've been here a while, if they're great and they're staying on, then they receive a monthly stipend. And that it's not much, but it's enough basically that they can afford to pay their rent wherever they're living. And then on top of that, they have to find genius ways to come up for the rest of the money they need to live. And you know, sometimes they each individually, I mean, if they're smart, they come up with their own ways to make extra money. I mean, I've had a lot of them do clipping, a lot of them do braiding on the side. Some of them do farm sitting, house sitting, babysitting, Grubhub these days. there's a million ways these days to make extra money. And if they're motivated, they can do it. And I think the other thing to mention is, you know, probably 75% of them are also still helped out by their parents. I think it's important that, you know, the working student position thing, it is very much like going to college for a lot of these people. It's their education. And when we go to college, we often have help from our parents or we get in debt. So there is a cost to doing this, just like there is going to college. But when I'd say at least half of our people have left, they've gone on to either have their own programs or they've gone on to work, you know, be managers at like William Fox Pits or some of the other very good riders or show jump yards, running show jump yards. Or like I said, had their own programs or their own businesses. I've had some leave here and decide they didn't want to ride, but are making a lot of money, having a very good contracted grooming business. You know, so it is, it's not just going to summer camp. It's not just riding lessons. It is, if you do it properly, a full out education that should benefit you in the future for a career. So that's basically it in a nutshell, I guess.
Do you think it would be fair to say that how much you put in, you get out in this kind of role? Because if you jump in feet first and say, I am going to learn absolutely everything I can possibly learn, take every opportunity that might come my way, because I really, really want this and I want to be able to walk away and have this education behind me, that actually, from your perspective, that will ultimately give you the best possible end result.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the way to go into it is with your eyes very wide open, because, you know, the 3-4 hours of lessons you get a week on your horse, and even if you're good enough, we let them ride some of our horses or boarded horses, and they might get lessons on those as well. But that is only one slice of the pie, really. And the people that think that is the reward are really short-sighted, and they're, you know, they're not getting what they could out of it, because what you want to see is all the horse management side of it. We have very good vets. We have very good farriers coming in here all the time. You want to have your eyes open to what they're doing. Ask yourself why they're doing it. See how often we do things. See what we do with our horses. See how often we hack our horses, how often our horses are on vacation. All these things are what you learn, not just the hours. You know, see how we deal with our owners. Watch what, you know, who I have for Thanksgiving. These are all important things. This is what you need to watch for, you know, because if you want to do this as a career, and for sure, I've had some great kids leave here and say, you know, I never want to do this as a career. And that was an important thing for them to learn too, rather than go 2 feet in on their own business and figure out they hate it. But if you want to do this as a career, your riding is a very, very, very big part of it. But learning how to deal with people, learning how to deal with clients, your outside staff, everything else, that is a very, very big part of it as well. So go into these things with your eyes open. And by no means should you ever let yourself be abused. I mean, the working people thing gets a bad rap because there are people out there that abuse the working student position. I think Leslie and I try as much as we can to give back. And I hope we're very appreciative and try to do the best always, which of course with horses, sometimes maybe the working pupil doesn't see it in the moment because horses are hard sometimes. But I think we try hard to give back as much as we can. And for sure, when we get working pupils that come in and get in the program and show appreciation and interest, well, they're the ones that are going to get more from Leslie. I mean, we're all human, right? You go in, you do a good job, you're going to get a good reward at the end of it. And I think you have to look at it very broadly. And the, like I said, the riding coaching piece of it is only one piece of what you should be learning.
Everything that you've said there, actually, the amount of experience that you bring to the table to be able to learn from is absolutely huge. Anna, from your perspective, obviously, you've been in the Laws program for a little under a year. What have you learned in that time? What has been the biggest sort of learning curve for you?
I would say I realized a bit that as much like as the horses, they're all like the most top level horses. Some of them, like, they win everything they go to, and they're incredible to be around. But you start to realize how much personality they have and how individualized all of their care can be. And I've learned an enormous amount about how individualized each horse's care can be. Like, some of them don't like going in their stalls when they're on vacation because they want to be groomed more. And I think the thing I've learned a lot from the Laws is just how important all of the horse care is. And keeping your people happy too. Like I feel like our barn environment is always very good. And I think that a large part of that is from the Laws that like, no one talks bad when someone leaves the room. And I think that that's something I've just seen in other barns that creates, I think of being a working student, a really bad rap. But I think that's something here that I've learned how valuable it is that even though everyone obviously loves horses because we're here, everyone works a bit harder when they all get along. So I think I've learned a bit about that. And just, again, dealing with people is something I've learned from the Laws that I might have come in expecting just to learn about riding, but I really have learned so much more about dealing with people and about how different people communicate.
That is a very good point, actually. Keeping your people happy. Leslie, what is the secret? Because you have a really busy program and obviously you're juggling lots and lots and lots of different sort of moving pieces of the puzzle. So how do you keep a happy barn?
I think, well, in regards to the working students especially, but also in general, the owners, our vets, our blacksmiths, I think, you know, it's no secret. It's like life in general, I think. You have to care about them. You know, I think a lot of working pupils get very upset because they go in and they get treated like slave labor. And they might get their lessons, but it feels like they're on the clock and punching in and punching out and off they go. And Leslie and I do care. We care a lot about these kids, these young people, and, you know, it goes much further than beyond their lesson time. It goes into when we're having dinner and we're discussing, you know, what Anna should do with her young horse, or what, you know, show Declan should go to where his horse is going to have the best possibility of success because it had trouble with water, and the best show to try and get it over that. And I think you just have to put a lot of care into people, and that's like life in general. When you feel like someone, you know, is caring about you, you're going to A, make them happier, and B, they're going to do a better job. And I think we just, we treat everyone as an individual. We want for all of them to succeed. I want to see every one of them become a better rider next year than they are this year. I want to see every one of them have success. I want to see every one of them, you know, learn to sell horses, buy horses, so that I know they're going to have a life one day. You know, so I think that's the key, and it's no different with the owners. You got to care. It's got to be personalized. Every owner likes something different, and it's got to be the way with your working students too. And I think the other key is to appreciate people, and that works both ways. You know, the working students that say thank you after a lesson, that goes a long way. You know, it's a simple thing. And you know, some people you teach and they say thank you and you feel like they mean it, and other people you teach and, you know, you think that they're just bored or whatever. But I think appreciation and treating them like an individual and really caring about what they need to do to be better, I think that keeps everybody happy. Because unfortunately with horses, it's a long, unless you have millions to put into them, it's a very long process to either train a young horse up or fix the problem or whatever it is. So there's no immediate gratitude in horses unless you can buy a solution every time you have a problem. So it's a long process, and there's hardly ever instant gratification. So in the meantime, you've got to make people know that you're behind them and you're going to stay behind them until they get what they want. And I think that's the key for all of us to be happy in general.
How do you juggle, obviously, a busy competition yard, teaching commitments, coaching commitments, owners' commitments, all of that, juggle running that side of your business alongside being able to offer your working students their end of the deal, so to speak? How does that juggle work?
I'm a super stressed out person. I'm super
stressed out. Then, if you care enough to be stressed about it, you obviously
care. Because you forget we have a kid too, so you got to add that whole school soccer thing into the mix. And then, no, it's true though. I'm a very stressed out person. I probably get up at 5 and I start scheduling things or thinking about what needs to be scheduled and whatever, and I do it most nights as well. And like I said, Leslie and I will have dinner, we'll put our kid to bed, we'll sit on the porch, and we could talk there for 45 minutes about what's going on. Because, you know, I've got 4 horses I'm competing all the time, he's got 8, and then we've got the 4 working students and 1 coming in part-time. And so, you know, 70, you're looking at 18 horses to schedule, 18 to 20 to schedule for events, and who's going where and who needs to do what. And it's a lot of just the organizing. I drive Leslie crazy, says I'm like Mussolini in the trains. But the thing is, it has to be, because if it doesn't, it turns into chaos super quickly. So to answer your question, it's just a lot of organizing. And I do it early morning and late at night, and I have a lot of notes. And it just takes a lot of organizing, that's all.
Organization is a word that is very close to my heart, so I can appreciate that. But I can imagine the moving parts of juggling that as a whole business is really, really tough. Anna, from your perspective, obviously there's lots and lots and lots of good bits. What is the hardest bit for you? Working with horses is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. But I also think that, as Leslie had mentioned, that every time, like one of, like I struggle a bit with my one horse. Every time that something is tough with him, I always feel like it's not like the whole world is bad in the barn. Like there's always one horse that just won a horse show or one horse that just had a breakthrough in its training. And I think that for me, sometimes the hard part is when I was a bit on my own, that when one bad thing happens, it feels like it's your whole world. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get out of it. But when you're surrounded by, I mean, five other people that all have going horses, even if your horse might have just gotten eliminated, you're like, well, this person just won. This one just moved up a level. And you know that what goes around comes around. So I feel like sometimes what can be tough is when your own horse is going badly, but someone else's horse is going well. But then I also think that's also a bright side because you know that, okay, someone else got through whatever you're trying to fix. And for me, I think that that's been really helpful being a part of a program and seeing everyone struggle and everyone start to fix their little problems that they have.
I think that is excellent advice, not actually only in a working student environment, but we could all take that advice on for life in general, because it is very, very solid, positive kind of mental attitude. Leslie, just coming back quickly in terms of experience, I know you said you didn't come from a particularly horsey background in that respect. How much experience do you need to become a working student?
I think it depends. You know, I think there is gradients of working student positions, just like there is in any field. And I think, you know, like Anna said, she was great. She did a couple working student gigs before us and probably worked her way on up. You know, when I was a kid, I was a working student in a local barn. And then I actually did a stint with, like, in Eric Lamaze's barn. Well, that's two different worlds back in the day, right? And yeah. I think lesser experienced people would probably not be very happy coming here because, you know, I don't know how to say this without making it sound terrible, but, you know, I've got horses in the barn that are worth $350,000 or more. And so I can't have someone around them that has no experience, you know? So you're better off at the beginning, you know, go do a little stint, get some experience at, you know, your local farms, and then build your way up a little bit. Like I said, I did, you know, stints. I could do 3 weeks when I was in high school, you know, during Christmas break. You know, so you don't have to sign up for a big position like Anna did. You can go do 3 weeks here, 3 weeks there, a month in the summer, and build your level of experience up. Because for us here, what we look for here is I need someone with a solid background in horse management. I mean, I don't need them to do an IV needle or anything, but I need them to know what to look for, what a leg should look like and not look like, and that kind of thing. I need them to have at least experience, solid experience at the training level of eventing. I need to know that they have enough experience that they can stay on a young horse. I don't expect them to stay on a rodeo bronc. Hopefully I don't have any of those here, but if a young horse spooks or a young horse does whatever, you know, they have to have the riding ability to stay on that. I can't have anyone falling off horses unless it's, you know, obviously an extreme case. So they need to have at least that for a riding background. They need to have a general good sense of horse management. They need a general sense of how to groom. I've taught people how to braid and that kind of stuff. So that doesn't matter, but they need to know, you know, how to be well, turn out a horse. And then on top of that, you know, the biggest thing is they need to have common sense. That's the big one. And they need to be detail oriented. You know, I need to know if that horse comes in with a big leg, you know, I don't need them to diagnose it for me, but I sure as heck need them to see it. I need them to see when a horse comes in and only has 3 shoes instead of 4. I mean, that is probably the biggest thing is they need to be detail oriented and have common sense. And then aside from that, they need a good general level of horse management. They need to be able to ride well enough to get on a five-year-old and take it, you know, hacking down the road. And the final thing they need, which is really important, is they need a decent horse because, you know, they're coming here to learn the whole business. But of course, we know the heart of all of us is in the horse and in the riding. And so they need to have a horse that we can really teach them on. If they come here with a lame horse or a horse that's not trainable, they're going to be disappointed because although they might be great people and might like learning everything else, they're going to be disappointed if they can't go further with their horse. And so that's a big one, is they have to have a horse that's capable of going further, not necessarily to the Olympics, but far enough that they're progressing as riders.
You make a very good point, though, in sort of the different kind of spectrum, the different options that are available. You know, 3 weeks in a barn very close to home is very different to signing up like Anna did and moving her whole life and her horses to a different state. Anna, if somebody sort of was thinking about being a working student or it was something that they really thought they wanted to do with their life, what advice would you say? Do you know what? Listen to this, take it on board because it will stand you in good stead.
I would say that you have to, before you go to be a working student, I would do a bit of research about who you're going to. Like I did all the research I could possibly find on the laws because I was like, I need to put my sleuthing cap on and figure out if anything bad has happened. And I would give a bit of that advice because I think you should know who you're going to and know what their past working students are now doing. I think that's really important. But also, like, as you prepare to go be a working student, you have to set really clear goals in your head because it's really easy when you're working 6 days a week and then also working on your day off to afford being here. It's really easy to not have time to reflect on what you're doing. You need very, like, I felt like I needed to constantly have a very clear goal of what I wanted to learn here and what I want, like what basically my goal of being here, because then every day you don't have to remotivate yourself. You're like, okay, I know why I'm here, because and the laws are never overwork us in any means, but we still have a very busy schedule, and amidst the busy schedule and working extra jobs, you have to have a good means of organization towards a goal that you're trying to achieve. That way you're not constantly reevaluating.
I think that is great advice. Leslie, from your perspective, what would you say to somebody that had approached you or thought that might be something that they want to do with their life?
I think, well, just to add to what Anna said, I mean, Anna is one of the greatest ever. I mean, she is a great person and a great worker and a great rider and everything. And she is also so nice. So I'm going to tell you the truth.
Do you know what, Anna? I'll clip that bit of the podcast. I'll send it to you.
It is. I do think she is right. Leslie and I do not overwork our working students, especially when it comes to manual labor. When I was a working student in the summer, I had to unload 600 bales of hay with another person, you know, so, or, you know, fix fence lines all day long or paint, you know, when I was with Bruce and I got hurt, I had to paint the entire barn on my own once, you know, so we don't do any of that. They don't have that extra manual labor, but it is like any and every agriculture job. It is a relentless day in, day out, and the show days can be ridiculous hours. I mean, they can be 4 a.m. till 8 p.m. Leslie will tell you it was much worse in England because they couldn't, a lot of the shows didn't have stabling. So he said they'd get home some nights at 2 in the morning and have to leave at 4 in the morning with the next load of horses to get back to the show. So we're not that bad, but it can be like 4 a.m. till 8 p.m. And, you know, 6 days a week, that's hard. It's hard work. Even if it's not manual labor, it's just hard to do that. So, you know, and Leslie and I often go 7 days a week and then take short vacations every few months. But, you know, it is hard that way. And that is also, I have owners that are farmers, and they're like, well, that's agriculture, whether it's horses, pigs, you know, sheep, or farmland. That is the life of agriculture. It's every day, all day. And I think that is something that some people can't do. And that's not to be disparaging, but there are certain people out there that cannot do that physically. There's certain people out there that cannot do it mentally. So I do think that is something that people have to think about. And, you know, like Anna said, research, there's very good. I think we have a great program. I have a few friends that I think have a good program. And I know a lot of people that I just from an outsider, I think they have a terrible program. And I'd say, look around you, who's always advertising? Those people that you see advertising every month, those are probably not people you want to go work for, because there's probably a reason they're always advertising. And, you know, I'd like to think a lot of our working students have been with us for 2 to 5 years, you know, so I'd like to say that, think that that says good things about our program. And, you know, people get disgruntled from other programs when, I think back to what I said, they don't feel like they're getting any attention and they're getting abused. So like Anna said, you know, look into the programs and keep your ears out, but ask yourself, A, do I have a good enough horse that I'm going to feel fulfilled in this? And B, am I ready for the hours? Because even if it's not physical, it will be hours.
Yeah. And do you know what, to a degree, I mean, you say you've had some really, really good people that have come through your program that have actually gone, do you know what, actually, that horses is not the life for me. And it isn't the life for everybody. But it is a great, great life, and one that we all really, really do love. Thank you both so, so much, because it is a really, really interesting topic to kind of dig a little bit about, I guess, how it works. It feels at times for people who sort of maybe look at it and think it's a bit of an enigma. And I hope that this show, listeners, if you're listening to this, whether you've been a working student, whether you think it's something that you'd like to pursue, whether you have a program that you run yourself, anything like that, that actually it will have been really useful. So thank you both, Leslie and Anna, very, very much. And we really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be back very soon, listeners, with more on the USCA official podcast. But for now, that is all we've got time for. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.